Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M. and I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Wyoming. Today is Tuesday, July 19th. And today we are reading from the Big Book and we are in Bill's story on page 15, the second paragraph. And today's readers are Lorraine N., Lois P., and Barbara W. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 19,195. And the reference number for Tuesday, July 19th, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard meeting is 19,198. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Gail K. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Gail K., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Southern California. These are the 12 steps found on page 59 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thanks, Gail. And now I'll ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. The 12th tradition. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose. to carry its message to compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinions on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H., and how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 15 in the second paragraph. And I will now ask Lorraine N. to unpack that paragraph for us and begin reading. Go ahead, Lorraine.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Lorraine N., recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. We commenced to make many fast friends, and a fellowship has grown up among us, of which it is a wonderful thing to feel a part of. The joy of living we really have, even under pressure and difficulty. I have seen hundreds of families set their feet in the path that really goes somewhere. Have seen the most impossible domestic situations righted, feuds and bitterness of all sorts wiped out. I have seen men come out of asylums and resume a vital place in the lives of their families and communities. Business and professional men have regained their standing. There is scarcely any form of trouble and misery which has not been overcome among us. In one Western city and its environs, there are 1,000 of us in our families. We meet frequently so that newcomers may find the fellowship they seek. At these informal gatherings, one may often see from 50 to 200 persons. We are growing in numbers and power, that's for sure. So this is a beautiful little summary sort of all the promises and benefits that happen for us once we work this program. The Bill's story here, you know, after all the blood and sweat and tears and effort and everything that took for him and Lois, who was by his side through all this, this is what we get. And for me personally, yes, friends and fellowship. Yesterday, I went back to my local meeting face-to-face for the first time in, I think, almost 3 years. And it was just so wonderful to be there in person and so welcoming. I can walk into an Overeaters Anonymous meeting anywhere in the world, and I feel at home. I feel at home. I know that others in the room have the same problem I have. And by working this program, I certainly still have troubles and misery from time to time, but I have a program now. I have tools. I have a design for living that I never had in the past. And it is a path that really goes somewhere. It goes to a beautiful, peaceful life most of the time. And I like where it says we meet frequently so that newcomers may find this fellowship. I believe that's why we meet and share our experience, strength, and hope. I mean, I go to meetings, yes, to help myself, but we're there for the newcomer. And there was a new person at the meeting I was at yesterday, and, you know, she heard a lot of recovery because there was a lot of recovery in the room. So I look forward to what others have to share on this paragraph, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Thank you so much, Lorraine, for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on Friday or Monday, please give me your name and I will make taking a list.
Bonnie B. in Minnesota.
Melanie C. from Oregon.
Tom L.
California. I have E.
Okay, I have Bonnie Jen. B., Melanie C., and Tom L., and I missed somebody.
Deb E.
Deb E. Anyone else?
Veronica
want to be
B.
added to this line? Veronica B.
Tom L.
Okay, let's start with these five. I'll tell you who I have. Bonnie B., Melanie C., Tom L., Deb E., Veronica B. Okay.
Okay.
Start with these.
Can I
Bonnie
jump in?
Yes,
thank
please.
You so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for your service. Oh, how grateful am I to be here today. Bonnie B., recovered by the grace of God for today, currently in the state of Minnesota, and as I said, grateful beyond words. What a beautiful paragraph. I mean, I guess every paragraph is, but it's so amazing that when you read one and you think about it and sort of take it apart, you realize how important each sentence is. A couple of things that jumped out. We commenced to make many fast friends. My first thought was, yes, I have friends in this program. I have friends that I can share things with that I have never been able to share things with in my entire life, with people I've known for 40 plus years. And the word commenced, I looked that word up just for the fun of it, and it means, it's actually a verb, it means to enter upon, to begin, to have or to make a beginning, to start. And this is what it was, right? It came into this program, and I had the gift of being able to make new friends. It did require that I reach out. It did require that I receive calls. But what I got from that is this joy, because I have a community. And the joy of the living that I have now is because I have a community of people that I can call instantly and say, you know what, I got a 10-step. You know what, I got a fear going on. Can I give it to you? And then under the pressure, because of the group and because of the friends and because of the program, it's all relieved. And guess what? I don't pick up. And I get to be of maximum service again to God and other people because of that. Many, many things in this program have been gifts to me, but the friendship is the number one. And so I purpose to do what others have done for me, which is to reach out and to try to encourage others with the gift that I've been given, because I've been set free from something that held me in bondage for years. And so it's a two-way street, but the more we get, the more you want to give away. And I am so grateful for each and every one of you and for the program and for all that God is doing daily through each of you. And so with that, I will pass. Thank you so much for letting me share, and have a great day, you guys.
Hey, thanks so much, Bonnie. Melanie C. is up next, followed by Tom L. Go ahead, Melanie.
Hey, good morning, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. Melanie C. here, recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Canby, Oregon. I think this is just a wonderful setup for a vision for you having their 10th anniversary yesterday, marking it yesterday. We'll be celebrating it in a larger sense here. pretty soon together to be able to do so. It's going to be a fabulous time to be able to reflect back onto the growth that has happened here and where it came from. Just a few women that thought that maybe they wanted to get together to study the Big Book that were members of OA and had lived in the same state and attended same meetings for a while, but their lives had taken them off into different places in different states, and we wanted to stay connected, and we didn't know if this was going to fly in the face of anything, but we thought together it's somewhat of a coffee clutch we would do this, and we were definitely fast friends, and we continue to be so to this day. You know, we're 35 years into this deal, recovered and abstinent, and that in and of itself is a miracle. But when we came together, you know, those 10 years ago, studying this thing and presenting it to OA World Service and wondering how that was going to fly, and we have been able to go through many things, you know, building upon a relationship with OA as a whole, being real clear that we are just a study group, not a regular meeting of that sort of nature, that we're here for the grassroots piece of the still suffering person. We wanted to keep it simple just like that. And each time we would meet again with World Service and share with them our vision and how we wanted to be able to be just simple, just like that, thinking about the person that was at home behind that telephone, maybe still not bathed, still in their, you know, pajamas, maybe, you know, with packages and bottles and bags and boxes all around them as they were on the phone, or face down in their bathroom, you know, someplace doing those kinds of things. That's what we wanted to do. And it has been absolutely spectacular, to the point where, you know, we have 10,500 member names that are registered as our on our website, and we represent over 53 countries that come and visit us and a part of this lively program all the time in the service work. The 90 people each week that put this meeting together that are faithful and loyal time after time after time after time after time to make sure that y'all have a meeting to come to every single day, that show up when it's not easy, show up when they would rather be vacationing, show up, show up, show up. So the 450 people on the morning meeting and the 200 people that are on this particular meeting and have a place to go when there's no place to go. And I'm so grateful to be a part of that particular movement. And in my own lives, to be able to recover from relationships that no longer want me in their lives, and to be able to live through that. Children, grandchildren being amputated from lives that we learn how to live through it. Scarcely a form of trouble and misery, which has been overcome among us. When things are not necessarily reunited, but able to live through miraculously, let me tell you about abstinence here. Let me tell you about what you can have from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Melanie. And Tom L. is up next, followed by Deb E.
Hello, everyone. What a wonderful pocket history of this meeting, a real fellowship. This passage is about fellowship, and I have to start. Well, this is a call to the people out there who are antisocial, never liked friends, always felt judged, just, you know, always estranged, lived in their heads. That's what food gave me, the ability to have imaginary friends. I could be friends with, it was a fantasy. Food fuels my fantasy. And as a previous sponsor of mine, food fuels my fear. It's a double-edged sword. So the fellowship. On my own, I cannot pray. On my own, I cannot keep the food out of my mouth. On my own, I cannot fellowship. What happened a year ago, just over a year ago, is that food destroyed me once again. Food and other addictions, because there are other addictions. And it destroyed me, and it showed me right up close that I could not do this on my own, and that it was intolerable, and that recovery, which I had tried before, was available. When there's nowhere to go, there's somewhere to go. We reject you. Anyway, but I don't like people. I'm very, very ashamed of what I've done. I'm very proud, strangely enough. So I started coming back, came to this meeting, started listening, got a sponsor, worked the steps because, well, things were so bad, there was nothing else to do, and things remarkably got better. So today, I call some of you on this line. I found sponsees. They've called me. I've never, yeah, and I thought, this can't work. you know, first of all, I'm not a people person. I can't, you know, I have, yes. So if you read the early literature of the experience of AA, they had trouble with each other also. Everybody was rubbing each other the wrong way. They had the difficulties, different understandings of the program, and of course, big personalities. I have one also, big, strangely enough, for a hermit, I have a big personality. And this gave us all an opportunity to use the program because we know we need our fellowship. Without this fellowship, I am dead. I will drift off and start eating again. But with a program, we start communing together. And I'm here most mornings and other meetings as well. And I start liking it against my will. Also, I enjoy being abstinent against my will. If you would have asked me as a young man, yeah, no food, living a clean life, being with people, no thank you. But it works once you're destroyed, once I was destroyed. Thanks for letting me share.
Perfect timing. Thanks so much, Tom. And Deb E. is up, followed by Veronica. Go ahead, Deb.
Thank you. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I have to make a comment about the fast friends, too, because the people I'm friends with and close with in OA are some of my closest friends. And it's amazing to me how I have people that I do 10 steps with on a regular basis that I've never met in person. I've never even seen a photo of them. I have no idea what they look like. And I share with them and they share with me on such a personal level. And the connection I have with people in this program is just amazing. It's like instantly, what I love about talking to people in OA is that instantly they go deep. You know, there's no superficial stuff. There's no appearances. It's just we get to speak from the heart right from the start. And I've seen a lot of people in this program have successes they never thought they were even capable of. And it's really inspiring to watch people grow. And, you know, as they're kind of released from the, not the weight, like the gained weight, but the weight on their shoulders of living in this disease, and the way they just take off after and are able to do things. And I've seen it with myself, how my creativity has grown just from being released from all that stuff that the disease weighs me down with. And I also just wanted to say one more quick thing about, there was somebody once who, it really struck me because she was kind of, she came in as a newcomer and then she left and then she came back and she left and she came back. And it came up like over several years, I don't know how many years went by. And she came up to me one day and she said, "You're always here." She goes, "You're my rock. Every time I come back, I see you. You're always here." And it really like struck me about how I go to meetings, not just for me, but I go to meetings also to show that it's, you know, it's worth coming back to and that there are people there and that there are people you can count on to be there. And I feel like we all do that for each other. You know, there were people there when I came in and that are have consistently been there. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Deb E. And next up is Veronica B. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I'm Veronica B. in California, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you, Sherry, for your service. We commence to make fast friends and a fellowship. It is a wonderful thing to feel a part. I love that I get to be a part of something. I feel a part of something that really fills my spirit and fills my heart. And before coming to Overeaters Anonymous, I never felt a part of anything. I felt weird. I felt like you knew how to live life, and I didn't have the instructions to live life. You know, I felt like an outsider. But as soon as I came into my first meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, you guys extended your hand to me, and you were happy to help me. And that, you know, your kindness kept me coming back. and I finally felt a part of something, something way bigger than me. And, you know, this fellowship that I have formed around me, it provides me strength and encouragement through hard times and through good times. And, you know, I don't have to do anything alone here anymore. Never do I do anything alone anymore, because I surround myself in the middle of Overeaters Anonymous. And if I'm feeling lonely, it's because I'm choosing to isolate, because I know that's my disease. If I'm starting to feel squirrely and lonely, that's because I take my will back. And this program has taught me how to live a different way of life. It's taught me how to rely on God. It's taught me how to trust that the day is unfolding exactly the way God intends it to unfold. It has just transformed me, and reaching out to others in this program helps me to better understand myself and to accept myself. And I never thought I would have the neutrality that I have today, and that's because of working these 12 steps, getting a relationship with a higher power, this power that I feel in these rooms, the power that I feel that lives deep within me, and I don't take it for granted for a single second. And we meet frequently. Like, I need you guys. I keep coming back because you guys are my medicine. Like, you know, I get what I need in these rooms, and I'm just so grateful. And thanks for letting me share.
Hey, thanks so much, Veronica. All right, I'm going to take another lineup, but before that, I'd like to let everyone know, in case you joined us after we started, that we are reading from Bill's story today, and we are focusing on page 15, the second paragraph, which begins that we commence to make many friends, and we're reading that one paragraph only. So if you haven't shared on Friday or Monday and would like to share this morning, please give me your name.
Josie. Maria F.
Aliyah A.
Noel E.
Jordan L. Okay, let me just repeat, because I think I missed some of these. So I heard Jody, and then a Mary, and then somebody with the initial A.
Aliyah
A. Aliyah. Okay, and then I have Noel E. and Jordan L. Did I miss anyone?
Larry G.
Larry P. and one other?
Ian F.
Ian
Mary
F.
Ann.
Thanks, Ian.
Mary Ann.
What was
F.
the last one?
Mary
Ann
F.
F. Got it. Okay, let's start with this lineup. We have Jody, Mary, Aliyah, Noel, Jordan, Larry, Ian, and Mary Ann F. And we'll hopefully get to everyone. Go ahead, Jody.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. I love this paragraph, and thank you so much, Melanie, for that history. I had never heard like that before. I would love to hear more of it, possibly on a special edition. It's really fascinating. But anyway, yes, we have commenced to make many fast friends. What is a fast friend? A fast friend is a real friend, not a fly-by-night or a friend who's only your friend when things are going well. Fast friends are friends who are with you when the times are tough and you're struggling and you're down and out. That's what we are to each other. It really is fantastic. And I'm just so grateful to be part of it. The joy of living we really have, even under pressure and difficulty. Indeed, because we do have spiritual tools laid at our feet. We have this design for living that works in tough going. Thank you, God. The most impossible situations are righted. That is true for me. I lived in a very impossible domestic situation for many, many years. And now, I'm so very grateful because my ex-husband and I are truly friends and we truly care so much for each other. It's just fantastic. I'm so grateful for that. Sometimes relationships have to change before they can get better. I'm beginning to see more and more people have similar situations righted as a result of sponsoring others and just knowing others in the program. And it's just a wonderful thing to be a part of. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much, Melanie and Leah, for beginning this meeting. And thank you to Bill and Lois and Roseanne and all the wonderful people that have gone before. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Jody. Mary S. is up next, followed by Alea. Go ahead, Mary. Star 1 to unmute Mary S. I think I got the name right. Okay, I may have misheard. Why don't we move on to Alea A, and then I'll go back and see.
This is Marianne F.
Okay, go ahead, Marianne F. I wrote down your last initial incorrectly. Go ahead.
No problem. Thank you all. I am so grateful to be here. I've been listening to Vision since December, and I have now gone through all the steps, and this paragraph is full of promises that are starting to appear in my life, and miracles in my relationships. I'm also struck by how the program is helpful in terms of putting things in perspective. And I heard another speaker, you know, mentioned that also, you know, not every moment is, you know, beautiful and wonderful. Many are, but this program really helps me be able to weather the difficult times. And the fellowship is something remarkable, and I really feel that. You know, like joy and sort of pride in what has been accomplished, both, you know, in the olden days of AA and in the Vision for You, which was mentioned, which was like elaborated by one of our speakers, the conception of it. And it's something to be celebrated, you know, and it feels celebratory to know that this was all done with no profit, no money, nothing. It's just a democratic process that everybody goes through and puts their little piece into, and it all comes out to be something so special and so important, a lifeline for so many of us. So thank you so much for allowing me to share today. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mary Ann F. And Alea A. is up next, followed by Noel.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I'm so grateful to be in this meeting, and thank you all for your service. Yes, this this paragraph is great. I mean, I've made some amazing friends in OA, and what's special about them is that they really care and they want to help, you know. And people who have been through the same things that I've been through, you know, like yesterday, I live with chronic pain, and a wonderful woman told me from OA that there is a Chronic Pain Anonymous group, you know, and they have meetings. And so I joined yesterday, and this is just an example of the fellowship of the amazing people there. And whenever I do a step 10, you know, I get instant relief, you know, with connecting with others. My relationship have improved, you know, with the amends and the living amends. And I'm always looking at my part and looking at what I'm doing, because this is the only thing that I can work on, and with the help of my higher power guiding me for everything. So the paragraph mentions trouble and misery, and, you know, I've been there, and it's a miracle now how, you know, we see the joy of living, and there is joy of living. So I always come back to the program no matter what, even if I regress. Now I'm going to be repeating the step 12, the steps, and I'm so excited because I know that my spiritual life will enlarge, and it's just, you know, something that is makes me so happy. And it's about taking action every day, and it does work. And the spiritual tools we have are just, you know, amazing, the design for living. So I just live with more peace and more serenity with this program. So it's been, you know, an amazing journey. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Aaliyah. And Noel is up, followed by Jordan. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. This is Noel E., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Louisiana. Thank you for everybody who does service on this line. And thank you to my friends and fellows, like the person before me that just shared, who I talk to all the time. It's, you know, fast friends is such an accurate description. This whole paragraph is so good. And it's actually making me think of the line in the book, we lose interest in selfish things and we gain interest in our fellows. That is so true. And having my fellows is teaching me how to, what it is to be a friend. Because what I've discovered is all of my friendships before recovery were very self-serving. You know, like I was self-seeking and like, what could that friendship do for me? And so, like, the losing interest in selfish things is losing interest in selfishly being a friend and learning how to be a fellow. And that, you know, comes into our lives. The part of the book, it says, I've seen hundreds of families set their feet in the path that really goes somewhere. I've seen the impossible domestic situations righted, feuds and bitterness of all sorts wiped out. This time last year, I can't tell you how dark times were in my domestic situation because of my disease. And it's a miracle each moment in God's timing, particularly this summer, just of what that does. Because, you know, I'm a friend to my husband. And I didn't, you know, my fellows have taught me how to, you know, to be what it means to be a friend, to not be self-seeking in every relationship. So, yeah, it's a miracle. And I can't, my favorite, I say this a lot, my favorite word in the doctor's opinion, which, you know, is the beginning of this book, is we. How the first word in this book is we. Because I know it means me and God, but it means all of us. It means us together, the body, you know, like, and yeah, I'm just so grateful to be a we with you guys. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Noel. And Jordan L is up next, followed by Larry G. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, thanks for moderating for us this morning, Sherry. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. That the line, the joy of living we really have, that really popped out at me today. That was definitely not something I had prior to Overeaters Anonymous. I think maybe I had bore witness to others and their joy of living and had kind of like dipped my toes in the water, and maybe like I was attracted to it, but maybe not like ready for it, or maybe not in a place where I was, probably not in a place where I was like willing to sacrifice what it is that has to be sacrificed in order to like, in order to get that, you know, like the previous page, it talks about a price that has to be paid, my ego. And I'm not sure that I was really convinced that any life run on self-will could hardly be a success. I think I was still trying like the self-will solution and trying to like make that work. I think there are some things that self-will can bring, you know, it might bring you riches and fame and like some of the other prizes of this material world that we live in that might appear as success to some eyes. But what it was that I found here, like this joy of living, it really has nothing to do with any of that. Like it's this really simple thing where I can find peace when I'm alone with a higher power, and I can share that joy of living with others in my life, whether it's like being of service in a meeting or talking on the phone with a sponsee, or even in the outside world, even outside of these rooms. I'm able to be like a conduit of that joy of living, even under pressure and difficulty, even under like some of those material pressures and difficulties that might still come up, living in this physical world as we do. I'm able to participate in the spiritual realm as well. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I have.
Thanks, Jordan. Larry G is up next, and then we'll hopefully have time for Ian and Marianne, but we may not. So go ahead, Larry.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry G. I'm from California. God, there's been some smoking hot chairs today. I'm just so glad to be on this call. And thank you, Meryl, for that history. I'm going to go back and listen to that. It was inspiring. This paragraph to me is a preview of a vision for you, and it just sends chills because my wife and I are both in 12-step, and all of her friends are 12-step, best friends, closest friends, maybe a few normies at the gym or maybe an organization I belong to, and I've been socialized so that I don't scare them anymore, so I move around in the world pretty easily without scaring the normies. You know, but I'm so grateful that Bill did not put the vision for you as the first read, like self-help books, which you could remove the word help out of self-help books. I'm so grateful it was at the end because there's a price to pay, and that price is I had a detox off of flour and sugar. I needed to do that, and I needed to have a sponsor that could help me to do that more than I needed to have God, because you know, that might sound, you know, it might sound wrong, but for me, I need a sponsor because I had lost my connection to God. My sponsor had reconnected me to God, and there was days that you would tell me, hey, Larry, you know, 24 hours a day, right? You can go 24 hours a day. I couldn't go 15 minutes a day, and then it was a half a day, and then it was a day, and then maybe in 60 days, I would look back and say, oh, my God, with great, you know, great gratitude, sobbing that I had gone 3 or 4 days without the obsession of compulsive eating. And I hung on to Bill, Dr. Bob, because Dr. Bob, for 2 years, he was on the obsession of drinking each day. And I had 60 days, and I would ask my sponsor, is this ever going to change? And she would say, yes, life is going to get sweet. And life has got sweet. So my message to the new people out there is that you got to detox. You just got to stop eating the flour and sugar for these promises, like in this paragraph to come true, to have come true for me. There's days I've got great days. There's some days not so great. But you know what? I don't eat no matter what. I go to God today. I do the things I need to do so I can show up for Mount Sam recovered man, which means there's a lot of things we have to do, right? And a lot of things are tedious in recovery. We have to do the tedious things to have the promises and the vision for you. Anyway, happy birthday, a vision for you. This program has been a lifesaver for me. I could not imagine having the kind of recovery I have 2.5 years ago. It was impossible. And so I'm grateful for all of you that have 12-stepped me, all of you that have taken my phone calls, all of you that have just had so many wonderful shares that have kept me sober. I'm out. Thank you, Mel.
Okay. It looks like we're only going to have time for Ian. So I'm sorry about that. Marianne, please call in tomorrow. Ian, you are up.
Hello, my name is Ian F. I'm a compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be here. This is a really, really wonderful topic that I've been experiencing a lot of lately. When I first came to program, I spent a year and a half thinking that I wasn't going to be able to get this because I was just different from everybody else. I'm too young. I'm a man. You know, I'm in this program full of, you know, women, most of whom are like twice my age. And I just thought, you know, I felt like a kid on a playground with my fingers through the wires in the fence looking in. And I saw these kids playing. And I just thought, I'm never going to be a part of that. You know, and I'd be in the rooms and I'd listen to meetings with my camera off and I wouldn't participate. And finally someone came up to me and they said, you know, there's a gate. it's not just a fence, there's a gate. You can come in, you can play with us. And that was one of the most wonderful things in the world to me that I could finally be a part of. And that I was, you know, just like all those other kids, just one of God's kids. That's what resonates with me about this paragraph is that reaching out for people who think they might be different, you know, because I knew that I belonged here, otherwise I would have left, but I was afraid to be a part of. And it says at the bottom, we meet frequently so that newcomers may find the fellowship, you know, so that they can. That's all I've got. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Ian, and thank you, everyone, for making this meeting so amazing, as always. If you didn't have a chance to share today, please call in tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lois P. please read A Vision for You?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your service, and good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you. And